You know, after 21 years of marriage, I found that my wife and I agree on most things. However, occasionally, there are some things we just don't agree on.
Yeah, we had a Superman at one point.
We had
a Spider-Man, we had a Batman, Superman.
Yeah, I never saw the Superman.
We had Disney ones.
I'm Michael E. Russo, and we'll be discussing that and other issues regarding mask making with my long-suffering wife, Gail, in this episode of the Creative Care Unit. Let's continue my conversation with my wife, Gail Russo, who made 1,150 masks during the pandemic. Well, let's talk a little bit about style, because you didn't stay to one color fabric or one of the, you had a lot of different colors and patterns.
I had up to 52 different patterns on the material, not style differences. And depending upon what it was, whether it was Disney characters, whether it was just Celtic plaids, whether it was, nature animals, whether it was different Harry Potter logos, depending upon what I found.
Yeah, I got, for myself, I mean, I had some Spider-Man, had a couple of Batman ones. I had some Music Note ones, which I loved. I lost one of them, which was my favorite. You never came home with a Beatles one.
That was because that fabric was 5 times more expensive than the other fabrics, and I didn't have that one.
Or a Superman one, which...
Yeah, we had a Superman at one point.
We had
a Spider-Man, we had a Batman, Superman.
Yeah, I never saw the Superman ones.
We had Disney ones, we had all different kinds of animals, we had cat ones and dog ones, and realistic ones for foxes, and polka dots and stripes and bees and bugs and lizards.
So you can kind of be styling with the different pattern in the front.
Right.
I remember seeing a few fabric ones from people that looked like they replaced their mouths, like with a dog muzzle.
Well, yeah, that's a particular drawer, but I don't know that they were cotton ones. The key is the cotton material, not the design. Sometimes the design are more like paints. So if they were painted on, that would make them more plastic, which would not be helpful for breathing.
Now, how long can you use the masks? I remember that they would say you throw out your N95 at the end of the day.
No, these you threw in the wash, and I have some that lasted me a whole 2 years. The elastic went more. You just replaced the elastic when it went. And the fabric itself lasted the whole 2 years. And then I still have some that are left over from the first one that I made.
How easy is it to replace the elastic?
That's fine. It's like replacing a button that got loose on a shirt. You just sew an extra end on.
Now, the elastics you had put together so they'd be adjustable, and it kind of looks like a three-piece sort of thing. Could you do the same thing with a fabric?
It doesn't slide as easily. It's not as thin as you might want it. The fabric would wear out sooner.
Could a polyester fabric loop work that well?
No, it's not adjustable.
I mean, if you made it in the same adjustable manner that you did.
I don't really know.
Might be something to look out for just in case, you know?
Well, it's also a matter of the expense. You've got hair tie elastics, okay? You have those that have the extra metal on them. You have those that are fused together. The ones fused together work better in your hair so your hair doesn't get caught on the metal. Well, if you cut the metal pieces off, it's a thinner elastic, which works better for the ear pieces, but it's also wrapped in fabric so that it could slide better and it doesn't wear out as easily.
If worse came to worse and you needed to crank up production again, could you?
Yep.
And how long does it take, assuming you have like your hair ties and your fabric?
Well, first you have to get...
How long does it take to assemble them? Never mind the purchasing. Purchasing is a whole other thing, but once you've got everything in front of you...
It takes 6 to 10 minutes to sew each one.
And
that's just the sewing part.
How about the cutting?
Well, That's you didn't. You said I had everything in front of me. That means I have the cut pieces cut into size. I have the elastics. I have the thread and the machine working. Some of that's half that. Have enough bobbins made up so that I don't have to replace them. It would take 6 to 10 minutes to sew just the sewing part for each one.
How about the with the cutting? What's about 20 minutes?
I would give yourself a good half hour on the grounds that first you have to get the pieces that match the right same size. Some fabrics would actually be sold by 9-inch sections as opposed to 7-inch sections because it depended upon the pattern as to which way you wanted the pattern to go. You don't necessarily want a sideways-looking dog or you want the symbol faced up. You don't want the fish swimming up and downstream. You want them swimming across.
Did you have a favorite pattern on the fabric?
I like the real lizard pattern.
Okay, what was so fun about that one?
They had real life-looking lizards. They didn't have cartoon ones. There were other ones that had cartoons on it also. But I kind of like the real animals, where you've got the foxes that chase each other.
You're a member of the Girl Scout History Committee, and you're a lifer Girl Scout. You also did some masks with that logo on it.
I made over 20 Girl Scout masks because I found the fabric that had the old logo for them. Although we have a logo for the History Committee, it's not called a logo. It's called a legacy mark. Legacy marks you can use any time, provided you don't call it a logo. Okay, they have a new logo, which is a plain trefoil. That's their newest logo. Well, that's not the old one that looks kind of like the Girl Scout original pin.
I think it's probably appropriate for the History Committee that you found a nostalgic old logo.
Right. You know. No, history mark, legacy mark.
Okay.
That's the key word.
It's a logo.
Yeah, well, that's, yes, but don't call it that because you can't use a different logo. You can use a legacy mark because that's grandfathered.
Uh-huh. But I bet you there's a lot of old girls, former Girl Scouts. Yes. I don't want to say old. You know. You can say old Boy Scouts. You can't say old Girl Scouts. But there's a lot of former
is a good word.
Former Girl Scouts, ex-Girl Scouts, who would look at that particular trefoil style design, which is not a logo.
And it's not available anymore.
And they would look at it and say, wow, I remember that.
Yes.
And you did something, there was an open bottom one?
One gal was totally claustrophobic and had to have an open bottom, like a veil. It went across her nose, and then it went straight down. Now, it wasn't as good a protection to her because stuff could go underneath. But for her to have some issue, it would not go out to the public.
Now, you said these masks had an advantage over the N95s because they had the three bowls.
Yeah, adjustable, reversible, washable, fashionable.
Well, I had
a lot of bowls. I forgot all which ones I chose at the time.
Can you imagine doing one of your masks with a fabric that had like a Gucci pattern or...
They don't make them in cotton.
Really?
I didn't see any of them in cotton.
Nothing with that kind of stylized
logos
on there. That's a little surprising to me.
Well, they used to also sell the Girl Scout material. They don't do that anymore. So the stuff I got was from people who were sewers way back when. And they just didn't finish using their fabric.
So your Girl Scout ones are doubly archival.
Yes.
old fabric you can't get anymore, old style
pattern.
Logos. It's Girl Scouts can sue me if they want. I'm not making any money on this. It's a logo.
It's
a logo. You know,
it's the original trefoil, yes. Mm-hmm. With the president's seal in the middle.
The president, the U.S. president's seal? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It has the eagle with the...
Oh, it has an eagle in it.
Eagle in it.
But that's not the presidential seal.
No.
The president's seal is a little bit... You're talking the great seal of the United States.
Right.
Okay. With the talons and the olive branch. That whole thing. Well, that's cool. Now, between the masks and the vaccines, you and I are both still COVID virgins.
Yes. We did not catch any of it. And the ear savers.
I think it was kind of a preventative gumbo that you came up with. You couldn't do just the one thing. Like, if I only did the one thing, it wasn't enough.
You know, you definitely needed the vaccines when they finally came out. Mm-hmm. The point was you needed to try to protect yourself until they came out.
Now, as a biologist, when they finally came out, what was your reaction?
I liked the second one better because it was from the RNA mm-hmm. that they had done them. It wasn't from a live vaccine, and the chemistry made sense to me.
I had three shots, the two initial ones and the booster. First time I got a lump on my arm, like when I usually get the flu vaccine. Second one knocked me on my ass for a couple of days. And the third one was somewhere in between. How did you react?
Didn't have any problem with them. He had his arm that was sore. Don't touch that spot for a while, but that's about it.
This is from a woman who got the chicken pox, what, seven times?
No, six times for chicken pox. Four times for measles, and three times from mumps.
I'm surprised that the vaccine didn't take longer to take with you.
It could have been. I don't know.
As we're going forward and we're accepting masks in our everyday life, because I have customers at Weiss who have cancer and they wear the masks now. And nobody thinks twice of it. At least I don't. I don't think they're like germaphobes or anything like that. Do you see more behavioral changes coming along? Because when the flu pandemic of 1917 came out, one of the things that got phased out in this country were spittoons. People weren't spitting in these cuspidors in restaurants anymore. Do you see any more behavioral changes?
I don't know. I know there's not as much prejudice against wearing something different, just like the headscarves of the Muslims. Or the different hairstyles.
I mean braids or dreadlocks.
Right. So people are getting not as prejudiced, I think, and that's helpful. Mm-hmm. Now, I have an issue because I don't think I was ever prejudiced. So therefore, I couldn't understand where it came from.
What I don't understand is something a friend of ours said to me fairly recently. She said, well, you're still a sheep. Meaning that I'm listening to the CDC and I'm believing the guidance from the CDC. This friend of ours, she and her fiance caught the COVID. She recovered. He didn't. So that, and it's a little upsetting that people still think if you believe the science, you're just mindlessly following the crowd. What makes you believe the science?
Well, I think that has something to do with my growing up. I was a scientist. I understand the science. Good example, okay? Years ago, you had to go to the bathroom out in the woods. What'd you wipe yourself with? Well, leaves. Well, you want to make sure that you knew what poison ivy was or you had an issue, okay? Same kind of thing. You have to learn along the way. Whether you trust somebody to say, hey, make sure you don't use that one. Do you touch a radiator because someone tells you it's hot? Do you wipe yourself with poison ivy and find out you've got a rash before you trust somebody has said it or enough people have said it that you don't necessarily want to do that?
I'm just wondering what it's going to take to get through to some people that the science is real. I mean, our friend lost her fiance and she still doesn't believe. Is this going to be a case like in Citizen Kane where Boss Geddes said to Charlie Kane, you're going to have to learn this lesson a few times.
Yeah. Some people just don't understand or just don't trust the knowledge of older people.
Or people who have the training.
Right.
I can't explain that, and I don't understand it.
Well, that's like how many people know which herbs to use for which items lately. You need to hunt it up in a book nowadays.
Or online.
They didn't have that back then. Mm-hmm. All right. Example, you know that willow was the aspirin. You know that rosemary helps with cramps. You know that rose hips, that's your vitamin C. you've got fish oil. Yeah. Each item did different things.
I know a little bit about fish oil, but this might be like Billy Joel once sang, I am the entertainer and I've had to pay my price. Things I did not know at first, I learned by doing twice.
So, yes.
Well, Gail Russo, this has been the toughest interview I've had to schedule, just in terms of getting us both in the house at the same time. But it's also been one of the most fun. Thank you for being here on the Creative Care Unit.
You're welcome.
Gail Russo is a crafter, a lifer Girl Scout, and a member of the Girl Scout History Committee. Among her lesser accomplishments is that she's been married to me for 21 years. If you want to find out more about Girl Scouts or crafting, you can reach her through my website, www.merusso.com. Uh-oh. Time to act like an announcer. Roll the credits. Support for this podcast is made possible by my long-suffering wife, who lets me do this, copious amounts of caffeinated beverages, and listeners like yourselves. If you've enjoyed this program, please like our Facebook page, which has links to our transcripts of the show blog, and links for you to make a donation to keep this show going. Creative Care Unit is recorded in the Danger Room Studios of Glimmer Productions, located in the heart of beautiful Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I'm Michael E. Russo. We'll see you next time, and until then, stay well. Yeah.